September 15th, 2010, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Wyatt from Pedro Show. September 15, 2010 on a Wednesday. Kind of trippy day for Wyatt from Pedro Show, but also trippy locale. I am in Pedro, but I'm not at my pad. I'm not with Brother Matt at the Love Grotto. I'm on 6th Street downtown at Guitar Safari, a shop run and owned by my guest for today, Miss Dirk Vandenberg. Hey, Dirk.
Hey, Mike. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. We started the show off with John Coltrane doing Peace on Earth. This is a version with Charlie Hayden on the bass instead of Mr. Garrison. And then we heard something from Death Praxis called She. And Death Praxis, of course, is Denko and Ikue Mori. And Derek, I hear you're into Denko.
Well, thanks to you, I am, yes. That's some really intense shit right there. It's very good. Thanks for giving me that stuff. I think everybody needs to hear that.
Yeah. My first exposure was at Bob Teagan's in Fraser, a suburb of Detroit, after a gig, and he had a video of her solo with a guitar at CBGB's, and it was the most intense, rock and roll music performance.
Didn't you just go see her somewhere recently?
Well, he told me about her doing a New York show she just played, and I flowed you that link to the video, and she actually said it wasn't music. What she does is performance. But I think it's like music.
Yeah.
I think it's like performance, too. And now she uses her body. Yeah, no instruments now. It's just all her voice.
Oh.
And Jim O'Rourke told me she makes tofu now in Tokyo. But yeah, amazing stuff. So every time after seeing that one time, I think it was something from 84 or something, when I played Detroit and Conk at his pad, I always watched that video. I must have seen it like 15, 20 times. And of course, he's got a TV about the size of this bulkhead here and puts up about 130 dB. It's wild. But anyway, we're here in Guitar Safari, your shop. But actually, you're just delivering that. Actually, people, this is a second incarnation of the Guitar Safari. Dirk did it before, and then it took a hiatus and came back. What's interesting is it's in the exact same location. So when was the incarnation one? When did you start?
I don't know the exact year, but it was about 12 years ago, I think. 12, 13 years ago now.
1997?
96, perhaps.
1996?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
And then how long that run go?
About 5.5 years.
So like 2001, 2002?
I'm trying to think. Maybe around there, yeah.
Go out, and then you come back. The second incarnation is how long?
At this point, 2.5 years.
2.5 years. So that would be 87, so maybe 5 years in between of no Guitar Safari.
I think my dates are wrong, but there was quite a gap, you know.
Yeah, this is how important it is to him. No, all that date crap don't mean a thing. What means dates are important to Dirk when it comes to his guitars, because there's many old ones. He doesn't have a lot of new. Is that right?
That's correct. Basically a vintage shop with a lot of tube amps and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even mention the amps. You know, it's called Guitar Safari, but it's also Amp Safari. And when you started it back, you know, the first incarnation, what was a Guitar Safari? That's when the shows would come, right?
You should explain
you were a collector before you had a store.
Yeah.
The store's kind of an extension of your collection thing.
The name comes about from my friend Alan and I going, we get in the car and we drive all day or maybe even take an overnight just looking for guitars in pawn shops and stuff. And we just called it that. Let's go on a guitar safari this weekend. And we did that for
couple years. Just pads. I thought they were like shows.
No, it was just like going to pawn shops and garage sales. And
this is before internet. And so you actually had to go to pads. I know about this because of Torrent. Mm-hmm. That's how I got some of my amazing deals on my... Mm-hmm. Because people didn't know what they cost.
Right.
Or if they had them, the availability or demand, who'd want them. Mm-hmm. A lot of these models I got at the time, nobody wanted them.
Yeah. You know?
Everybody talks about my EB3 that got stole, but I got it from you.
That's right.
Yeah. That was a nice one. 1963.
Let's hope you get it back.
You know, it don't matter. Here, you're working on my 65 EBO. This is the Akachan. Okay? So, you know, that one was taken from me. This one was given to me. Mm-hmm. To me, it's pretty square.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. His name is Dan in San Diego. Also, one from Andy upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And the Yauk, too. Give me a professional. So, I can't cry too much over it. But I got that one from you. So, yeah, you're... when did you start collecting guitars?
Well, I was in a band in high school with my friends for years. And
I was a drumming man, though.
Yeah, but I was playing drums. And then when we got in a big fight and the whole thing fell apart, and I thought, well, I can't write songs on the drums, so I bought a guitar, and then I just kept going from there.
The patent pad?
This is before that.
Really?
But
I don't remember many guitars at the patent pad. I do remember an amp, though.
I had a big closet. Okay. Yeah, I had a big closet over there.
Oh, and they were in the cases.
Yeah, and they were all kind of put away.
So you were already starting.
I had about 25 guitars over there.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember a little amp. Like it was an oldie.
Yeah, a little champ.
A little champ,
I let you borrow it, and you recorded with
That's right, I recorded with it. Yeah. Great sounding amp. Where'd you get that guy?
At a garage sale in Torrance.
Wow.
$25.
$25.
Yeah.
See, this is the pre-internet days when stuff could go
I used to buy guitars all the time from Recycler for $200.
Oh, yeah. Right. Recycler was...
That was a good
That's how I got all my music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's play some music.
Okay. Thank you.
le sang est bitume. Ma bouche chale avec amertume. Les voies électriques qui nous séparent. Alourdis par chaînes et dégâts, et pleine l'Europe, mes jambes avec elle. Un phare éclaire la voie ferrée qui attend la chair des nouveaux arrivés.
tu sai riscaldare il mio cuore. Mi appoggio sul tuo petto, mi sento libero, riempendo ciò che è vuoto, svuotando ciò che è pieno, riempendo ciò che è vuoto, svuotando ciò che è pieno. Welcome in the flowers, I'm for sunny circle. Welcome in the flowers, I'm for sunny circle. The God we know we are, the God we know we were, the God we know we are, the God we know we were. T'annuso con gli occhi, ti gusto con le orecchie, ti vedo col mio naso, ti trovo con la bocca, t'ascolto con la lingua, voglio che ti siedi nel mio cuore e che sorridi. Welcome in the flower, I'm for sunny circle. Welcome in the flowers, I'm for sunny circle. The God we know we are, the God we know we were, the God we know we are, the God we know we were. Riempendo ciò che è vuoto, svuotando ciò che è pieno. Riempendo ciò che è vuoto, svuotando ciò che è pieno.
What from Pedro Show? I heard a bunch of stuff there from Italy. Starting off with a band Dose is going to play with next week in Long Beach called Neo from Terracina, and not too far from Roma. And incredible guitarist, this cat, Manlio, his name is. He don't play with the strap on. So he uses a chair, you know, puts his leg up on it, and he's an incredible guitarist. I mean, not just for that, but for his prowess with making that instrument an extension of his spirit. So we heard a tune from Neo called "Are You Still Friend With Your Brain?" And then he's got another band I got to do some gigs with 6 years ago. I was doing second opera tour in Italy. And he's got a band called Squartet. And we heard Frito e Freddo. And then I'm looking forward to playing with Manlio and Neo. The closest he'll probably get to San Pedro. Prospector not far. I think Saquon Truss is on the gig too. So that's the 23rd. I think it's a week from tomorrow. Dose is playing Friday at a pizza place in the valley. Red Balls Rock and Roll Pizza is what it's called. Yeah, you play in front of the people by their chowing and yammering with Dose. It's a character builder, but I got 4 gigs coming up with Kay and looking forward to it. Also going to master our 4th album. Anyway, after Squartet we heard this one's a tough one, man. Squarcicatrici, or maybe Squarcicatrici. No, excuse me.
Can you translate that?
No. Something. I think it's a play on words.
Sans Race is the name of the song. That means without race. I think French says sans. And then Lizard by the Bogarts. Yeah, they didn't Italianize that name. And finally, Welcoming the Flowers by Rice on the Record. Rice on the Record, I put bass. They asked me to put bass on a song of theirs called Fake Smile, Genoa band. They're drummy. You can't write songs on the drums, so he says. So you get guitars and start collecting. You had 25 when I first met you. I met Dirk now maybe 80, 81. Mm-hmm. I've known Dirk pretty near 30 years. And I didn't know about this guitar thing until actually after you moved out off Patton. And, okay, there's a guitar for writing a song, but you got into, like, the kinds.
What do you mean by that?
You know, the aesthetic of these old guys. Yeah. You weren't buying new ones.
No, I bought old guitars because they were cheap in the paper. And when I first started buying guitars, I was thinking that solid body guitars weren't guitars really to me. I liked hollow body guitars, and I had like a bunch of them before I ever bought a solid body guitar.
Uh-huh.
I just thought there was more craftsmanship in
it. Well, and also drums are acoustic.
Yeah. I just like the hollow
body.
Yeah,
more craftsmanship. Not bolted together planks.
Yeah. But I love a Telecaster now. I like solid body guitars.
I'm you moved on. And then the halfway ones.
Semi-hollow.
Yeah, semi-hollows, arch tops.
Like 335s. Like
Would you say there's a common thing about a collector, or are they all different kinds of people?
I think a lot of people get stuck on certain models, like they'll have like 15 Strats or something like that. I just got into it for the voices of each different one, and also that's why I've got a big collection of amps too, because the amp is truly the voice of the guitar in my mind. I think it's 80% of the sound. You know, the playability is very important on the guitar, but every guitar, every amp has a different voice. You know, size, little tiny champs to like, you know, basements and stuff like that. There's all kinds of great sounds in between.
Are most collectors musicians?
That's a good question.
You know,
a lot of them are.
Look at art, paintings. Most guys who collect paintings probably aren't painters. It's not like it's jive.
Well, there was a long period where it was a lot of stockbrokers buying the stuff who didn't play. You know, it's investment stuff.
They were investing. Yeah. They weren't lovers of the.
No. I don't.
You think that's gone out a little bit? Or it's still about?
The whole market's soft right now. I don't know who's really buying what. You know, everything's gone down a lot. There's probably people with money still buying a lot of stuff. You know, you see it on the internet now. Like a real expensive guitar will come up, even though you know most people can't afford it now. Somebody still buys it. You know, if it's a good piece, a rare piece, somebody will buy it.
Now, right from the get-go, you weren't just Marshall, Gibson, Fender. You went for some stuff like K's,
Silvertones, Harmonies. Yeah. I had some Guild hollow bodies.
Those, not really bouge machines. What attracted you? So obviously.
Money.
Your aesthetic was, they were cheap to buy.
Yeah, a lot of hollow bodies in the 60s were like those brands, and they were different than everybody else was
playing.
That's
why you liked them, because they were different.
Yeah.
Hey, Raul.
Still waiting here on Tom, okay?
Yeah.
I just got off work right now.
I'm doing a radio show with Dirk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, they had their own kind of sound, kind of, right?
Yeah, well, I liked them because you could easily get feedback out of them and be more of a get more of a wild sound.
More live, more wild.
Mm-hmm.
Barney, there was some kind of high-endy ones.
Well,
case.
Well, this case, this Barney Kessel, it's called a Jazz Special. It's the top of the line K. It's 17 inches wide, and they're almost impossible to find. Because when these came out, like in 57, 58, they were $400, the same price as a Gibson Super 400.
Wow.
And they weren't half the guitar, but they're still real cool, like for kitsch value and stuff. They look really nice, and collectors just drool over those things. So consequently, they didn't make a lot of these things or sell a lot of them. Where, you know, if you had $400, you'd buy a Super 400.
Right, a Gibson.
And then Barney Kessel jumped ship and went to Gibson after that.
Ah. Strange, there's a fashion to it now.
Yeah.
Bad Veronica left her poetry in a bag in the corner of the laundromat, jumped in her car and headed down the block, her poem stolen by a pack rat. Saved her bra, one sock, and her only pair of panties with a face on the crotch. She was late for her gig. She really wanted to dig. Stomach in a knot. Forgot her pot. But was content like a vent in establishment. Vent to vent in her incident. Bad Veronica left her poems in the corner on the table in the laundromat. Her voice is her identification of New Age incense. She burned in reverence. She had to play it straight and could not hesitate to elaborate and cooperate to celebrate with her mates, Dangerous Dan, the rest of the band. Bad Veronica can't wait to fly in a blue blaze craze under a tie-dyed sky. Down in the old school, the band began with Dangerous Dan, fan of S. Clay, who understand the hand, the demand, the contraband, and the big damn lie. Like the salt on the last year's asphalt on the road to the mall last fall and all. Bad Veronica jumped on her bar stool, drank to get cool, rock with one sock still in a laundromat with her new poems and panties with a face on them. Shepherdess of excess, wearer of wantonness, sorceress of fruitfulness, forgetfulness, left her underwear on the table in the corner at the laundromat. And the TV blaring hollow slogans of the president's new establishment. Hitch a ride from the gray area. Take the bend in the road going south. Out of South Bend, somewhere imagined, to the Delta dirt, where the cotton is pure and the polka dot shirt flies in the wind. Where the blues are bad and the words are dreams, and the random bells are always ringing. Like the quantum operators in the binge of the time bring echoes at night and sweet as the first Phoebe snow. But a blizzard rages up north and winds coerce, blow broken songs from a chain of paper doll lines, the horizon each censored for emptiness and force. Ice on the asphalt and the streetlights make it shine.
Yeah.
But running a store is kind of like having a social thing, right?
Yeah, it's a club. Clubhouse.
People stop by. Do you have the some cats who come by every day? Every other day?
I got this one guy that comes by every day. He's an older English guy, and he drives me crazy.
Yeah. But it's not always to get a pack of strings and stuff. It's just
no, just to shoot the
shit.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I remember young, up by Vons with that Dick Toy Circus. I'd go in there, and there was a young, he was a man to me, but he's a young man. And I would just go and rap with him. And eventually, this cat gave me his whole H.O. car, race car collection. Probably because he got too old. You know, them little Aurora H.O.?
He had the music store up there?
No, it's called Dick's Toy Circus.
Oh.
The music store was Chuck's Sound of Music. I didn't really know the Chuck guy.
No.
But I'd go in there every day, just look at the same album covers that I was looking at, you know. Finally, I'd get some monies up, I could buy some, but there was a look, maybe 30 look days for every buy day. That's where I first saw a bass was at that place, because they didn't just sell records, they sold instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And then right from here, Dirk is by 6th and Center?
Mesa.
I'm sorry. Mesa. I don't even know my own adopted fucking town. Well, on this corner here where there's a parking lot used to be a pawn shop.
Yeah.
And that's where me and D. Boone got our first guitars.
Mm.
He had a Melody Plus. And we're talking $15. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. But, yeah, I'm going to store. There's a social trip, and some idiot with a radio show shouldn't be like putting a crimp in that shit. I think
these guys, they come in here and waste so much time though anyway. Even if you weren't here, I'd be like spending it, you know, probably 3 hours a day just yakking with people, you know?
See,
and then they walk out, thanks a lot, see you later.
You know,
oh, can I buy one pick? No, I'll just give
it
to you.
But maybe you're keeping somebody from just going over the brim, you know. By doing these talks.
Yeah. A little bit of little counseling.
Yeah. You know, they're not going to go off. And, you know. And then somebody will come in, like a lady wanted to, was just in here looking for a stand-up, and you couldn't give it to her because you sold it last week, right?
Yeah, it was a German stand-up.
Wow, not plywood.
It was a flatback. Yeah. I don't know if it was plywood or not.
If it was German, was it full?
No, it was
three-quarter?
It was, well, American standard's three-quarter.
Yeah.
German, this was a half-size bass, actually. But it had a pretty full sound. It was pretty small. Yeah, it was a half-size.
Piccolo, Ron Carter?
It was, you know.
Yeah. He's got a little stand. Did it have a stand on it?
It was smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
That's a three-quarter, yeah, so it was a little bit smaller than that. Once you pull a peg out, it's
you know, the place for the stand-ups, right, is World of Strings on 7th Street in Long Beach. How many there, 40?
Yeah. Well, they do a lot of repair over there.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of them there are being fixed. Mm-hmm. But you go in this one room that's all stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And, pretty impressive. I tried my hand at the stand-up, and it kicked me in the butt pretty hard. I made a record with Talia with it, and did some other things, but not a lot. It was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, much different than a bass guitar. I'd have to be with it a lot more. I loved it, though. There was something about it, the way the sound went into your body.
Yeah.
But anyway, the love of going after stuff that... Because at those times, those Ks, Dan Electro, Silverton, they were not desirable.
No, that's why they were $200.
Yeah, right. So you're chasing them.
I couldn't... I mean, even back then, you could buy a Tele for like $450 or $500, but I didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'd have a couple $100 and find something that I could afford.
Yeah. Right, right. Now, these were just going into the collection. You didn't have an idea of, like, spinning them, flipping them, I guess you call it? Flip?
Flip. I would upgrade sometimes, you know, get rid of
so
two.
You flip? Yeah.
Yeah. But I was still stuck on the hollow body thing for, like, years, a couple of years.
That came later, right? Early on, it was just collecting these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, what about the guitar shows? Then because that's probably the first inkling that, whoa, there's market here, and it's how things are perceived.
That's when, yeah, these traveling circus guitar shows, the Three Amigos from Texas, they'd come around. I even went out to the Dallas guitar show a couple times, you know, spent a lot of money going out there. I bought a couple of nice guitars out there.
I remember you bringing home some good ones.
Yeah, I got an ES-5 out there, a Gibson 52, really beautiful guitar. I had to trade some stuff for that, but, you know, It was fun to go look at all this stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you could tell how...
Oh, yeah. Prices were soaring at that time. And a lot of Japanese people were buying stuff. Bringing you know, everybody's railing against the Japanese buying this stuff, but I think that they have an innate respect for this stuff, and they don't mess with it. Like, some American kid might buy this thing and put stickers all over it, drill it out or whatever, you know. You got a nice old piece like that. It's good to have be in the right hands, you know. And a lot of... Now, I mean, in the last 10 years, I think a lot of those guitars that went to Japan have come back to the States. It's an open market, you know. It's a world market.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Probably some in Europe, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And maybe China. Maybe Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe Pedro.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's been the first hour of the Watt for Pedro show, September 15, 2010. Hold tight for hour two. September 15, 2010 is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Let me park my car. Hello. Allow me to tell you a small story. It won't take nothing more than a bit of your time. There once was a cyclops that was stealing my mail. I caught him one early morning, pressed on his bail. My mail in hand, I could see my name. I chased him all so far but lame. My legs being that I was hurt in 4 years of oil, blah blah blah. Long story. Anyhow, I chased him, but gave up, but saw where he ran back to. I called the police, but they hung up. A joke, they thought. A cyclops stealing your mail? Your spam? Ha ha ha, please, sir. Don't jest. Anyhoot, here I am, sitting here mailless again. He gets up before me, the early bird catches the worm, which is my mail. So one day, cleverly me, I set a trap for the bastard. A nice set trap. Yes, I got me a mouse. Hanging upside down, I saw his only eye bleeding, and he just let out a small cry. Please, sir, please let me go. Please? No. Revenge has to play slow. Anyhow, anyhoot, you're coming with me to my basement dungeon, and life shall be seized. Wiggle free, wiggle mite, you'll never get, cause the rope's too tight. So come, hand it down, respect your new living sound. Yes, sir, I will go bravely, Cyclops Savory. Now you know that we're the men that cursed this land from way back then. Fuck you, you've been stealing my mail, and now you'll pay. I'm a hateful old man, and this is the way. Here's my axe and there's my sword. Now prepare to die, you stupid boar.
Please, sir, listen here. I've been reading your mail and paying your bills for you, cause I love you. I knew you back in 1983. That's when you saved me from falling on my left knee.
Still I cannot run so well, but that's another story, another time. Don't wanna bore you with details.
Watt from Pedro Show. I got so excited about your collecting and your guitar safari of life that I forgot to talk about this music we played before our last spiel. We heard Charlie Plimel do a poem of his called Bad Veronica. Then we heard Thrifty Astronaut doing Boys Who Huff Glue. Then there was Patterns and Sound Do Exist by Tran Qual. And finally, Disney-fied Heroes by Infamous Deed. And then here to start off the second hour, we heard Radix and the Sebs doing Let Me Park My Car. Then Barsh by Position Normal. The Power of Erosion, special rehearsal preview by Common Deflection Problems. And finally, Foot with their classic reading of The Cyclops. Yeah, back to the safari. The amp trail. You spoke a little bit about amps, but like, in fact, that Champ that I play. What year was that?
It was pre-55 because it had the Jersey Grill on it. So
yeah.
We're looking at maybe 54, 53, something like that.
Great sounding amp, man.
I just got another one.
I found a 48.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Champ 600, I think it was called.
Don't they call it a Champion, though, on that one thing? Or does it say
no,
Champion?
It had numbers, 600,
oh, okay.
Too. And it had a DEA tag on it. It was seized in a drug raid, and it was at this pawn shop. And I got it for $45.
Sweet.
It was a tan and white one.
I've seen it,
with
yeah.
Not your tweed thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
two-tone.
Yeah, two-tone, right. Nice. But so was yours. Had great tone, man. That's when I started finding out that
to record good sounds, you don't really need big amps,
mm-hmm.
actually. Mm-hmm. So was that one of your first electric amplifiers?
Probably, yeah. I don't recall anything before that.
I don't remember seeing anything, and those were kind of hard to put in a case and hide in the closet like the guitars. But you came along, you started getting almost as many amps as guitars?
Yeah, I was up to about maybe 25 amps. Then I,
and the same thing, a lot of different character for the different things.
Yeah, you get from like a Champ up to like a Piggyback Blonde Basement or something like that, or Super Reverb.
I remember when you had that was for a pedal steel.
Was it a white amp?
Yeah,
made for Forrest White. Leo Fender made a commemorative lap steel and amp for Forrest White. I had one of those for a while.
This had trippy tubes in it.
I don't know.
Trippy shape.
Oh, Coke bottle tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had too many amps. I don't know.
Maybe this one is no longer in the trove. It's been flipped. No, but it was amazing stuff. You got into steels too, laps.
Yeah, I got about.
James Williamson got into those, he told me.
I think every guitar player should have a lap steel.
He was visiting the islands a lot. Hawaii. Nels has gotten into playing them.
He's really good on the lap, yeah.
He did a little of the pedal stuff in Tokyo. I asked him to. Mr. Keigo's borrowed it, but he doesn't have a lot of experience at it. But man, he worked it good. But he does the thing with no pedals, just on your lap, really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
He does it a lot for this Wilco band plays with. Yeah. You had quite a... I don't see a lot of slides here now.
Well, I only have just that old Gibson over there. It's a pink ultra tone. But
man, was it Oahu the name of this amp?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it had like...
Alzheimer's,
Well,
at the barricade. I have it pinned against the barricade. It was called Oahu. That's why I was thinking.
It was made for lap steel as a pairing, but I just considered a guitar amp. So
yeah, sure. Yeah. But that's where I remember it from. Because I'd never heard of Oahu before, but it makes sense, Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm. But made it in Cleveland.
Yeah. And Danny Salvador, me and D. Boone, Moto, right? He has an amplifier for a lap steel. In fact, that's why he played it first. Mm. And it was way loud. That's why we let him in the band, because he had the way louder amp. And because we had these toys, like that baby you got sitting up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're tinier than that, and we'd have to put it up on the dresser. Mm. I mean, 5-inch speakers,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Yeah.
And Danny comes with this 112, maybe 40 watts. I mean, that was cooking.
What's up, Dirty Boone?
Hello.
And people never really had one at a place like this. Except for maybe the pawn shops and stuff, but the guys selling probably didn't know. Had a little inkling, maybe by the brand name.
Yeah.
But not somebody into the, the dealio of it.
Well, I kind of modeled the shop in a mini way, like in the old Hollywood shops that would sell nothing but vintage stuff.
What were those called? Voltage?
Voltage and Guitars R Us was a good...
Guitars R Us?
Yeah, there was a bunch of shops up there that were just...
Yeah, I think it was Sunset in, Stanley?
Albert Molinari, was that the guy who had...
Genesee?
Albert was Voltage.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that cross street. Was it...
It starts with a G. I can't think of it. I don't know. But everything,
Genesee?
Everybody was right there.
Yeah, yeah. There's a shit heart center there that's... Actually, it used to be on the other side of the street and was a little small thing. Maybe it was their first store. Who knows?
Yeah, now that's a print shop, I think.
But remember when it was on the south side of the street instead of the north?
There.
It was on the corner. And there was that hotel with the bear, the sleepy bear, right? You remember a little bit. And, yeah, this thing, like our old buddy Tone, God bless him. Just go up there just to look at these things, to drill. We'd bring our own drill bucket and park it between our feet and just look at the wall.
I used to like the ones in the pawn shops in downtown L.A. Little old man and stuff. They used to have all the cool stuff on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, Pedro had some. But Not so much. And the guys doing it didn't have a culture of it. It was along with the knives and the handguns and the, you know,
they got
wedding
wise.
Rings. Here, let's listen to some music.
All right.
Time are trapped unknown, stage an age of history.
Okay. I tried to get help here from Dirk with this. We started off our little block there with Kabachikaya from Yuri Oshepkov and the Avgusteshaya, which I wish I had translation. You know, I was there last month, and I was telling you all these fires and smoke and the heat. And they're excellent gigs in Moscow, you know, and St. Petersburg, the not so bad with the fires and the smoke, but it was still really warm. Russia's having a super hot summer. Maybe they're going to lose half their wheat because this drought and then those fires. When we were in Moscow, an airport, some boss of a military airport ran and let 200 planes get burned up. And the president fired him the next day, Medvedev. And yeah, some kooky stuff like that. But it felt really bad for him. You know, anybody with the nature. Like a couple days later, when that storm in Finland caught me on stage, I was just praying that it would keep going over to Russia and put those fires out. Yeah. Then we heard The Greatest Secret by The Horrible Department, Anger Management by Nasty Stash, Truck, the acoustic version by DMF, and then finally Whooped 'Em Up the Hill by the Black Twig Pickers with Charlie Parr. Speaking of which, Dirk, you have quite a record collection.
Yes, I do.
This came before the amps and the guitars, right?
Yeah. I used to ride my bike down to, like, Redondo. There was a record store down there called Crane's Records years ago. Sure. And that's where I bought, like, you know, I was... The first day the Raw Power came out, or the New York Dolls and stuff like that, my brother was kind of hip to stuff, and he would tell me, I'd ride my bike down and buy stuff from them.
Did he have a surgery?
Not yet, no. Okay. But I still have those records.
His brother Louie, who ran radio department at UC still does. Riverside, still does. So you were steeped in the music stuff from a kid.
Yeah, he turned me on to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What's funny is I still have some of those records in the shrink wrap with, let's say, 329 on them written with felt pen.
You'd open them, but you wouldn't take the shrink wrap
right.
off, right?
Yeah.
I knew dudes like that.
Well, I still got them.
With the price, that's how much they were.
$329.
Which was a lot of... It was big money for us. When 8-tracks came, did you ever get into them?
Yeah, we had one in the house.
All right.
And we have a cabin in the mountains, and we have an 8-track player up there. And I started.
I've been there.
I started. Yeah, you were there.
Remember that?
I started collecting those things about.
What was that record we heard?
It was Basil Rathbone doing Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
But
the Black Cat.
That's a story for another.
That's another story. Yeah, but so there was 8-track at that cabin.
Yeah, so I collected all these 8-tracks and over the last 10 years or so, and I had Sex Pistols, all kinds of stuff that you can't find anywhere, you know, and I don't know.
There was Sex Pistol 8-track?
Yeah.
Wow.
I found them at the swap meets or whatever, and I had a big pile of them, and then when I went up there a couple years ago, I was looking for them, and my mom threw them all away.
Thanks, Mom. What about cassettes? Did you ever get into them?
Tons of them. Yeah, of course.
Did you get into this thing? No, the mix tape.
Oh, making my own tapes? Oh, yeah.
From your records? No, to, like, brainwash, I mean, turn your friends on to...
Sure. Yeah, I've got one over there that I made, like, about 20 years ago. I listened to it the other day.
Right, because a lot of people weren't hip to this stuff. Okay, you went to Crane's, a little north of where you were. Did you ever go east to Zed?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, many times.
Yeah.
I went
That's
there with
where
you.
I got all my early punk
That's
records.
Where we got that Rocky Erickson...
That's right, with that dog.
We both got those.
Split out of the head. And, yeah, it has the title written in letters. You don't...
Well, it was the single that you sang over the phone, too.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
We got
Bermuda. But that's Bermuda, the one Harvey Kubernick had. The album was the CBS. It had the incredible painting. But the letters, the title of the album are letters...
Like space letters. Yeah.
You don't know how to say it.
Yeah. Two-headed dog and all that
I
stuff.
Thought, yeah, yeah. Don't Shake Me, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Mind. I Walked with the Zombie.
Right. That's a great record.
It's a Cold Night for alligators. White faces. Creature with the Adam brain. Great, great stuff. That was like my kind of safari because I didn't know hardly any of that music. Mm-hmm. But the interesting record covers or name of the band. By the way, the pop group played a few days ago.
Oh,
first
nice.
Gig in 30 years.
Did that? They were doing a documentary about those, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's done. This was actual gig.
Yeah.
I think they were missing Waddington, the one of the guitars. But they had Garth and Mark, Bruce Smith. I think it's the second bass player, Katsis, though.
I'd like to see that.
The other guy, the first one, did Pickbag. I can't remember his name. Mm. Sorry.
All right.
But Katsis had some good bass lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the prostitute guy. And, How much longer do we tolerate mass murder? But the first guy's the dub one on the Why, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that album. I mean, there's nothing about it, you know? There's just these guys, natives and stuff. And this Why, and then there's a little thing of the band, kind of little cutouts of them.
It's got the mud heads on the front.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And there's no information. And then got the record. And then the pop group, you know, it's like, what, the pop group?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, and there's a poster, and it's got them dude who's been, like, lynch mobbed, and the dude's pissing all over
him. Yeah, I've got that.
It's like, what? Before I even listened to the record, I was like, oh, my God. It was like, this is an intense way to make a band.
Slightly yeah. Political.
Let's just listen to some music.
Inside our jungle, we couldn't do a thing. them. They desecrate, they're flipping off strangers and pissing on the walls now. And anybody walking passes a gauntlet of catcalls. Everybody's looking for a little situation. Two girls or two boys or some other combination. Was that a fuck off or was that an invitation? And do you kiss my girlfriend with that mouth? The streets are smelling of cigarettes and cum because there's action in the alleys and these condoms when they're done. And you tough girl in leather and in pigtails with mouth and a fuck me, but I don't want the details. Please don't tell me, I don't wanna know your name now. All I wanna know is if you ain't got much shame now. Just strip off your panties if it is all the same now. And do you kiss my girlfriend with that mouth? Don't mind if I go on and film this. You kiss my girlfriend and she will film our first kiss. Let's open up a window so we can hear the sirens. And let's break out the Jameson and do it again, again. Everybody's looking for a little situation. Please rub a little harder so I can feel sensation. Spit in your hand for a little lubrication. And do you kiss my girlfriend with that mouth?
Watt from Pedro Show. That was Do You Kiss My Girlfriend With That Mouth by the Peter O'Tools. Before that, we heard She Held Her Breath for 17 Minutes by Stunt Cat. Then we had Sardines before that from The Games. And we started off a band from Philly called Split Red doing, it's a demo, but it's their tune called D-Boon in honor of D-Boon. It's his name, Stephen Bono. He's the guitar man, I think, for this band. And flowed me that. So thank you for respecting D. Boone. Speaking of D. Boone, Dirk has been going through his old shit, and he found the inaugural, or whatever, the initial issue of the Pro. Yeah. Now, this was something that D. Boone put out November 1981. Actually, I typed it. But it was all D. Boone's ideas and works. He had people do certain sections and stuff, but he was like the managing editor and the guidepost, bowsprit, whatever. And here's on the front cover was the manifesto. It said, "The Manifesto of the Pro. To employ the fundamental principle of our American Constitution in Amendment 1, freedom of the press. Number 2, censorship in ancient Rome. A board of two officials of the Republic kept the census of the citizens, let public contracts and supervise manners and morals." That's a parenthetical. D. Boone responds to this in capital letters, "No such bullshit is to exist in the Pro." So that's his view on censorship. Number 3, total reader participation. Number 4, all articles will pertain to music, art, and environment. Number 5, finally, the principles of this declaration are subject to move with change. So, here's some artwork. Gary Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary Jacoby with a essay on the death of capitalism. And then more Gary Jacoby was a big part of the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's it, Lonely Guppy Speaks Out. I don't know. Oh, what follows are excerpts from an interview with Greg Hurley, who was in the group Kindled Imagination and the Slivers.
Oh, yeah,
right. Wow.
Guitar Shop. Yeah.
That's George Hurley's brother.
What's that? Holy crap.
And then D. Boone gives a...
I gotta go because I'm doing a radio
little essay on the Civil War. And there's some D. Boone art. And Raymond Pettibone. When Raymond spelled his name with the E at the end. And then record reviews from me. Keats Rides a Harley, Der Plan, Meat Puppets, Flux of Pink Indians, Gang of Four. Whoa, we were just talking about the singer. Stooges got to play with them, and the singer was incredible. Blurt and Minor Threat. Wow. There's even little stars. I can't remember. I remember him asking me to do these. Look at what makes this record good are good songs. No shit.
Yeah.
Embarrassing. But I have none of these. He did a bunch of these proles. I have none of them. I have none of the flyers I made for the Minutemen.
I got some right here.
We were just so much in the moment.
Tragicomedy.
We played Tragicomedy on the show before. Tragicomedy is the band Dirk had with Crane and John Rocknowski.
Do you want to see some of these?
Yeah. That's Raymond.
This show, special guest was Husker Du. It's not even on the flyer.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Casa de la Raza. This is one of the first Golden Voice shows.
Mm-hmm. Santa Barbara.
Gary Tovar.
Here's an old peer group flyer.
Gary Jacoby. With plugs.
This has got some good commentary on it.
Peer group had Gino on
read
clarinet, right?
Read this stuff.
See Joe Baiza, the great guitar warrior in person. Speak to him, touch him, hear him perform his greatest hits with passion, emotion, and strife. See him outplay and outlive Jimmy. Yeah. Catch his last LA appearance before his nationwide tour or before he takes a drug overdose. $5 admission or ask Joe to put you on the guest list because he's cool. Buy his new LP, Surviving Joe Always. Photo, Naomi Peterson. Joe Baiza had a look that was pretty distinctive. Even in the old days, those first shows, before I even knew him, met him. Yeah, he still does. Although, if they cut him out here, it's kind of weird. Look at the feet.
Yeah.
Well, cut out pictures, watch out. What's this others?
Oh, I got Jimmy Smack flyer here.
Jimmy Smack was a musician from Pedro who played bagpipes and read poems.
And he's on the Reactionaries record, too, right?
Well, the tribute.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Community FK, that was Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's some old Minutemen stuff. I don't know if you want
these
to
are ones I made.
Yeah, these are ones you made.
I don't have any of these. Stupid fuck. Jimmy Joyce and George Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's that same typewriter.
I know.
It's on all the new Alliance.
Everything's all crooked.
Yeah. Especially the A, or is it the N? Or one letter is always wrong.
I like the big headlines that you cut out on these things.
Yeah, but these are kind of simple. The ones there were some of them like I got like hundreds of
talking gorilla.
Yeah. Soviet horse breeding races, rubles rewards. Yeah, there was a lot of machinery in the law that wasn't there a few years ago. Rodriguez. Talking Gorilla's dead cat may be replaced. Oh, these are the funnies. Oh, man.
I've got some
Minutemen gigs. It's kind of difficult for radio, so we'll play some music.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, look at Flash. We're at the end of the second hour of the September 15, 2010 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. September 15th, 2010, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
and shocked all the neighbors months into the dawn.
You had the most peculiar way of playing those tubs with the Beatles' wedge teeth to monkeys' face stage drums. We played our home songs and the love and loss. Home away from home, all the buckets came to have some fun. You had the most peculiar way of playing those tubs with the Beatles' wedge teeth to monkeys' face stage drums. How it came to unfold, now that should not be told. How it ended so, that shall never be told.
me. Every time I see her, every time I see her, I wanna scrap her. Up to me till I look right through her. But she moves so fast that I can't even see her. Her interest fades like grip on a mirror. Like grip on a mirror. Like grip on a mirror.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start third hour with Marshall Allen and the Vertical Dog. Something from live in Virginia at the beginning of this year. This is a man in his 80s, touring. Icano style. Beautiful cat. Many tours, many gigs with Mr. Sun Ra. Incredible. Pioneer. And Not Afraid Music Man. I think Sonny Blount was his name. Originally. Maybe I got that wrong. Something like that. From Birmingham. But Sun Ra, incredible cat, incredible records. Seek him out. I'll play some more on future shows. I've been turned on to some stuff I haven't heard before. Some of him touring in Italy. I played some on the show. Then we heard, that was called Angels and Demons at Play. And, then we heard Posing Nude with We Played to Love and Loss. And then a demo from 1978 from Captain Beefheart of When I See Mommy, I Feel Like a Mummy. And it was great. You're an old Captain Beefheart fan, right?
Sure. Saw him at the Golden Bear. It was a good show.
Right.
Drew Feldman was playing bass. He opened the show doing a big bass solo.
Bass solo.
Playing chords on the bass.
You're talking about, I think that was the Doc at the Radar Station tour.
I think so, yeah.
And they started, he did a bass solo, and then they went into Hothead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you up in bed?
Morris Tepper
like
was in the band.
Yeah. Jeff Morris Tepper.
Yeah.
Incredible Hat Size Schneider right. on the other guitar. Right. And I think Robert Williams on the drums. Mm-hmm. It was a whole other magic band than what we just heard there.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Shiny Beast and mm-hmm. the Bat Chain Puller. Puller. But Captain Beefheart, another not afraid man to take chances. Who's the most interesting cat you've met that collects guitars and amps? Is there like a guru? Is there a sensei for you among the collector people who you have a lot of respect for? Do you have a cat you will call
for advice about yeah. certain things? No, I pretty much know a lot of, like, too much stuff already.
Yeah,
I don't really run with an ilk like that too much anyway. Yeah. You know, I like local people that, you know, have appreciation for this kind of stuff.
Right.
No, I wouldn't say I don't really know anybody like that.
Do you get stuff off eBay?
I have, not for a while.
Yeah.
I sell stuff on there once in a while.
What's your opinion?
Well, a lot of cats want to hold it in their hand, you know, but if you buy a good quality guitar like a Fender or whatever, it's, you know, that's Rush Rod Works and stuff like that, it's pretty safe to buy stuff like that. You have to know what to ask, you know. You have to know what you're looking at.
What about new stuff at a store?
How do you mean? Like if you go to Guitar Center or something?
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy anything there. I don't like any of the new guitars. They feel stiff. New mm-hmm. Gibsons, I don't like them. If you go through 20 Fenders, you might find a nice one, you know.
Yeah.
But the Gibson, the fret finishing work is not good on them anymore. It's kind of sad.
You know about the floods, right?
What's that?
The Gibson factory in Nashville was hit very hard with the floods this spring.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. I know about the flood, but I didn't think about them.
Yeah, it was really bad. It hurt a lot of musicians there, but that factory too. Mm. But who knows? Maybe because they have to redo... Maybe they'll get... You're saying there's something wrong with them working on their frets?
Thank you. Yeah, if you feel like the shoulder of the neck, the frets aren't filed properly, they have a real hard, kind of sharp feel.
The quality control's gone down.
They don't do a lot of good finish okay. work. Yeah.
If somebody was to offer you any guitar... For real Icano, all you had to say is which one you wanted. What would you pick?
Well, this is... I don't know. I think a guitar that I really wanted to have for a long time would be a 1957 Gretsch White Falcon.
Okay. Yeah. What about amp?
I got enough amps. I like all my amps. I don't think I need any more amps.
You wouldn't want like a...
Maybe a 20-watt Marshall.
What about 59 310 Bandmaster?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I don't have one of those.
All right, Jay's got like four or five of them.
You got me. Yeah, those things are real expensive.
Good sound, though.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jay bringing one into the studio for Ed from Ohio to use for Mr. Machinery Operator. Yeah. You never got into collecting drums.
Well, not...
Because you went back to playing drums.
Yeah, but I have... until about 2 weeks ago, I have four drum sets. So I guess... I wouldn't call it collecting. I just wind up with them somehow.
But you played older gear.
Yeah, I just sold a 1930s Slingerland Radio King set to some guy.
Complete kit.
Minus the snare.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, the guys that play Jump Blues and stuff, yeah. They like those
drums. Right, right.
Yeah.
Authentica.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, I got tired of playing drums. It's just too much stuff to pack around. But now, like the last 5 years I've been playing with these guys, I play only snare and kick and two cymbals. Hi-hat and ride, that's it. But it makes you play a little harder.
That Greg and Deerhoof, you know,
same
kick, snare, and a hi-hat.
Yeah, you can beat the crap out of that.
Let's listen to some more music.
Encontrará más.
You just heard When You Gonna Quit, something live from the Thrills. Before that, Second Fiddle by Ditch Croker. Ditch Croker's got Tim Barnes, who I had the pleasure of recording in Austin, Texas 2 weeks ago, along with John Dietrich of Deerhoof, Colin McDonough's, Nicholas Kaplan's band in Austin, and did a improvised album. Tim Barnes, great cat. Before Ditch Croker, we heard Crisis by Proyecto Trenes, somewhere in Latin America, maybe Argentina, maybe Peru. I hate that one, I can't remember it. It's not like other people's lands aren't special enough, it's because I'm too stupid. Please, understand that. And we started off with Glass Barrels in the Evening Sun by Liquid Indian, which has Christian. He's got a band called Dix Lexicon. He just sent me 7 songs to put bass on. It's like 12-string acoustic guitar and kind of wild drumming. So I got to figure some bass out for this. Christian, a great guitarist. Had him on the show a few months ago. Actually a drummer man from Florida who came out to learn guitar in San Francisco. Hmm. And have you heard of Triclops?
No.
Great band. He's a guitarist there, but he's striking out on his own stuff, so want to help him out. So this... First, why did the first incarnation go down of Guitar Safari?
Oh, well, I had the shop running over here, and then I was running a family business, which was a flight school teaching people how to fly. And it just became too much work to run both things, and it was very difficult. So I had to go where more money was. And this was more like a hobby at that time, although I was making money in here, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It was way better then than it is now. I mean, money-wise, because we had a hard time right now.
But you closed it down, then the flight school passed on, and then you bring back...
Yeah,
The Safari.
Yeah.
Chapter 2.
I was trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And I still had a billion guitars, and I saw the shop was open again, so I took the same space.
Same place.
Yeah.
What a trip. What was it, a magic shop?
That's next door.
Oh, okay.
I had that spot, too. I had 2 storefronts.
That's right, back then. Now only one storefront.
$600 for 2 shops.
But, you know, for Pedro people, do most Pedro people know?
Well, yeah.
The
reason I kept the same name was because people knew that name. And
yeah.
A lot of old people come in here that
they're
like, what are you doing here again? You know, yeah. They're surprised to see the place.
But then, first time around, you didn't really have internet presence.
No.
Now you do.
Yeah.
Because you want people outside of Pedro maybe to know about the pad.
Mm-hmm.
And how can they find it on the internet?
It's just guitarsafari.net.
GUITAR.
SAFARI
.net
NET. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so you don't have to be in Pedro to check out and maybe, you know, trade Kozeni for amp, guitar,
mandolin.
Tone would come in here, huh?
He came in here a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quiet now.
Look at this.
What's that?
What kind of mandolin is this guy? Resonator?
Well, what's weird about that, I guess it's hard to describe, but there's a resonator on the back, but it's sealed off from the front of it. It's just like more for show, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
Looks like almost a banjo mandolino.
Yeah, it's from the 20s, I think. It's really old.
Wow. The Comet.
Yeah.
Incredible. So if you check out the website there, you can learn more about Dirk and his shop here and help it along on the second incarnation. Because it's a tougher go-around this time for him. And maybe because of economy.
Yeah.
What about maybe because of the big stores?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking about these Squire guitars and stuff. You know, I went down to Target down the road here, and they're selling...
This is at Target.
Yeah, they're selling Squire guitars with mini amp for like $110.
Yeah. I think I saw them at Best Buy.
They have Best Buy has a lot of, they have Gibsons and Fenders there now. Yeah. They're trying to knock the shit out of a Guitar Center, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sam ass.
But you know, those shops are good for me because people go, they buy some crummy Squire Strat or something and they can't play it, doesn't play any good. Yeah. They bring it in here and I fix it and make it play better. So
See? That's
part of my business is fixing their mistakes.
Yeah, because we haven't talked about that, but I brought the damn bass in here to get new controls and the cavity shielded, and I brought it to the man I trust. So we haven't talked about his prowess with his repairs. But there's also that, and you can't hang that on a wall. Our final chunk of music.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Call it by a second name. We'll spit the dirt into cheese. You know what? You're all against the law. till I come, till I come. In a closet, near the sunset. In a closet, in the east. Just hanging around. Just hanging around. Do you know what I mean? I'm dancing with Caribbean. Do you know what I mean?
Started off with Down the Hatch by Stereo Atomico and Skate Away by Flying Brains and It Don't Make No Sense by Mad Cowboys. In the Shit next. Next was In the Shit by Beasts of No Nation. And then Jay's Song by the Fuck Unicorns and Fuck the Economy by the Spoiled Brats. Bust My Fuse by Landfill. That's got Bobby Ho on drums from Sacred. And then finally, Dancing with Carradine by Damnation Machine. Maybe reference Mr. David Carradine. I don't know if you want to do that dance.
Not me.
What was that Strangler song? Hanging Around? Just hanging around.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that from the first record?
Yeah. They were one of the first bands to have a whole album.
Was it called Black and White?
No, Nostra. Oh. Maybe it's a Latin name for the family of rats.
Oh, yeah.
Rattus Nostra.
Yeah.
Or something. I think the one you're talking about is the third album. Like the second one was No More Heroes, I know that.
That the Black and White has...
Leon Trotsky, he got the ice pick, it made his ears burn. Something. Bring on the new band. Strange band. I saw their first gig at the Whiskey, first for SoCal, and pretty intense.
Big bass sound in that band.
Big bass sound. I think his name was JJ. Brunel? Brunel?
Sounds familiar.
Something like
Brunel,
that.
Yeah.
But he had big combat boots on, and he karate kicked some cat off the stage. Flying karate kick. Yeah. pretty wild. You know who I saw that I saw at the Whiskey was the Jam singer. He was in the same festival as us at, in Sweden, and I got to talk with him.
Paul Weller?
Yeah, he's a nice man.
I saw that picture of you with him.
Yeah, and he was great. I didn't know any of his music. I said to him, you know, last time, like with the Gang of Four singer, last time I saw you was in 77. He goes, is that place still open? I said, yeah, it's pay to play now, though. Look, if you could give any advice about this endeavor, the guitar safari life.
Don't do it.
Don't do it?
No, it's fun. You meet a lot of good people. I'm not sure what kind of advice you're talking about, you know, as far as buying things, if people want to buy something.
Get into it.
Just, yeah, find somebody that knows what they're talking about, a friend of yours that plays and stuff, and make sure that you go together with them to a shop. And
what about this magazine, Vintage Guitar?
I haven't looked at it in 8 years, probably.
Remember, it was the big dealio.
Yeah.
One time, Tony, myself, and Dirk lived in the same apartment building. I remember when that baby would come. We'd be all over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Nels is in this month talking about the 59 Jazz Master I sold. But yeah, find out from somebody's stuff, right?
Yeah, just take somebody with you that knows a little bit about it.
Yeah.
People come to me all the time trying to pick my brain, and I'm happy to tell them stuff, but you got to be there to look at what they're talking about.
Right, right.
Excuse me, ma'am.
And
I'm here to see an apartment upstairs.
Just call the number that's on the wall up there.
No, I have the number right here, but I didn't bring my cell phone. Is it possible to use a phone?
Can you give me a minute?
Sure.
Huh?
Can you give me a minute, please?
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much, Dirk.
Well, thank you. That was really
coming aboard Watt from Pedro show. You're an old buddy, but it's always great to have you on the show and spreading your wisdom about the old collectible playables.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah. It's been September 15th, 2010, Watt for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.